If you have your Bibles, turn with me over to the book of 2 Corinthians and just hold on to that for just a few moments. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll be looking at verses 7 through 9 this morning as we consider the importance of the resurrection. A Sunday school teacher was explaining to a small group of children about the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And she had made a cruel, crude cross and out of some sticks that she had found. And she explained that Jesus was nailed to that cross and died. And a little boy sitting there listening to her and his teacher, and he just said, "Oh, that's too bad." And she said with the very next breath, "Oh, but the Jesus rose again back to life." And the little boy's eyes grew big and wide. And he said, "Oh, that's totally awesome." And it is totally awesome that our Lord Jesus Christ has arose from the grave, and that we are able to be here this morning to have the opportunity just to worship His name. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is totally awesome, even though many people in this world don't even know about it. You know, for some people, Easter is just another day that they have a three-day weekend and a few hours out of fun in the sun, so to speak. For others, it's bunny rabbits and colored eggs celebrating something that I don't know what, but it's just doing something. And for others, Easter is just a ghost story that they don't even believe in the first place. But for the believers in Jesus Christ, Easter means the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Easter means the promise of life after death, because Jesus Christ has conquered death and the grave. Easter means joy and hope of life eternal. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the crowning proof of Christianity. You see, everything else that was said, everything else that was done, all the miracles that were done, all that the disciples did, all the teaching that was done, all of that is useless and means absolutely nothing if Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead. The resurrection, if it did not take place, then Christianity is a false religion. If it did take place, then Christ is God and Christianity is absolute truth. All other men, even the greatest men, the greatest men in society, the holiest men of our society, of our world, have all died. You know, men like Buddha, Muhammad, Confucius, you name them. These men had profound impact on our society and the way our world is today even. But every one of these men died, and their grave is still with us even today. But Jesus Christ, He died, but He is alive, and His grave is empty. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important thing about Christianity. And without the resurrection, we are no different, we are no better off than anybody else. The resurrection of Jesus Christ stands true and will stand true as long as this world stands. So this morning, just very quickly, I would have us to look at the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. First of all, the resurrection means that we have an all-powerful God. We have an all-powerful God. You know, what is the greatest power demonstration in the world today? What is that demonstration? Maybe it's some scientific power or human power, athletic power, intellectual power, some political power or military power. You could just go on and name all kinds of powers. But you know, every one of these falls short when it comes to the power of God. At a dinner, a surgeon was watching the host carve the meat. And the host says, "How am I doing, surgeon? I'm doing pretty good, aren't I? I got pretty good technique, you know. What do you think?" Well, when the host had finished slicing the meat and it all laid out pretty there on the plate, the surgeon says, "Anybody can take them apart. Now let me see you put them back together." Well, you know, God can take a life that has been destroyed by this world and He can put it back together. He can bring it back together as no one else can. He can take a dead life and make it living and vibrant and useful once again. Scripture gives us example after example of Jesus doing this in the literal sense of the word. If you read back over there in Matthew, the 27th chapter, when Jesus was raised from the dead, there were saints that had already died and been buried that arose out of the grave and they went into the town and they visited with other people. In Acts 9, we find Peter praying and Tabitha come back to life. In Acts 20, we find Paul praying and it's Eutychus who comes back to life. Jesus in John 11 raised Lazarus from the dead. In Luke 7, Jesus raised the widow's son there at Nain. And we find also that Jesus in Luke 8 raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. God is powerful. He is totally powerful. His power is awesome power. God can raise the dead. God speaks and things happen. You know, God said, let there be light. And there was light. God spoke again and there was the earth. He spoke again and there was the stars and the universe. He spoke again and man became a living soul. How is it possible? How is it possible for God to create something out of nothing? Well, I don't know. I can't really answer that question. But this I do know, that because God is God, He is not limited like we human beings are limited. Albert Einstein, who is revered by many as being one of the most brilliant men of our society in our times, once said, "My religion consists of a humble admiration for the immortal superior spirit who reveals himself in the slight details we are able to perceive with our frail and feeble mind." Now, I don't know whether Einstein believed in Jesus Christ or not, but he did believe in a superior being we call God. And Einstein knew that we human beings have frail and feeble minds and are able to only understand just the slightest details about God and what He has done. Do you think maybe the common ant would have some understanding about what we human beings do? Well, you know, probably not. That ant probably doesn't think a thing about what we're doing, does it? But, you know, could that be kind of like us and God? What God is doing and how God is acting and what God's being, do we understand it? No, not at all. But we have a little bit more than that ant has, since in that we were created in the very image of God Himself. So we are limited, but we can understand that God is our Creator. He is all-powerful. He is all-loving. He cares about us. God is God. He is all-powerful. And far more powerful than anything we can begin to think or even imagine. Paul writes for us over in the book of Romans in the first chapter in verse 20 when he says, "Since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse." God has revealed Himself even through creation itself. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means that He came back from the dead and that He is all powerful and we can know, worship, and love Him. Well, secondly, the resurrection means that life cannot get us down. Cannot get us down. From 2 Corinthians, there in that fourth chapter, verses 7 through 9, we read these words. "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." No matter what happens in this life, nothing can keep us down. We will have doubt. Every one of us this morning, everyone sitting on every pew sitting here this morning has had downs in your life. You know there are times that you've had troubles and difficulties and things that you just could not hardly deal with. But you don't have to stay that way because Jesus Christ is alive and is our Lord and Savior. A Richmond, Virginia couple won $239 million in what at that time was the second largest lottery payout in history. And J.R. Triplett, who was a retired truck driver, had bought those tickets just a few miles from his house. And the day after that the numbers were announced, he told his wife, Peggy, he said, "Sweetheart, I've got those numbers." And Triplett said she fell to her knees right then and thanked God. And then Triplett said, "Well, it didn't excite me all that much, you know. It's no big thing to me." And at a news conference with his wife, Triplett said that, you know, they had no big plans for their winnings at all, but they'd probably buy some real estate, as he put it, because they don't make no more dirt anymore. And then he said, "Sweetheart and I may take a few days and just lose ourselves somewhere." And then his wife said the first thing they bought when they knew they had won that lottery was a tombstone for a childhood friend of her husband's who died 25 years ago. The first thing. Now, you know, they took the payout, which was $141 million. Can you begin to imagine what you would do with $141 million? Well, I don't. I've got some ideas. But, every one of us sitting here, though, are kind of on the other end of that thing, aren't we? You know, most of us don't have a problem with over an abundance of money, do we? Many of us have experienced the other end of the problem, you know, not having enough money to pay the bills. And, you know, that's one of those things I know a little bit about, at least. You know, I know what it is that sometimes to have to rob Peter to pay Paul. And then I know what it is sometimes to try to rob Peter and he don't have anything to be robbed of. You know? We've all been there. And some people have had to file bankruptcy and some people, get fired, lose their job, lose their car. The electric's turned off in their homes. And we just face many problems of life, family problems and health problems and accidents and aging parents and on we could go. And all of these things are very real and they're very demanding and they're very draining. Life is not easy. And life sometimes is very hard and very cruel. A lady knocked on the preacher's door, and she and her husband were having trouble with a rebellious teenage daughter. And she was just wild and uncontrollable. And he listened to their talk for a little while, invited them to church, prayed with them. They came to church and started coming. Eventually, he baptized the whole family, and they continued to have trouble, though, with their children, their family. The oldest girl became pregnant outside of wedlock. The middle child, a boy, was extremely wild and was eventually killed in a car accident. The third child, a girl who seemed to be the best of the bunch, though, ran away with a traveling circus when they came to town. You know, raising children is not easy. Even at its best, it's not easy. Life is tough. But there can be victory in Jesus Christ. We live in an imperfect world where imperfect things happen to all of us. But we can make it because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Knowing that Jesus overcame death, we can have that same power to live daily in our lives. Knowing that Jesus Christ overcame the resurrection gives us power to be all that God intended us to be in the first place. You know, Peter wrote there in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, in the 6th, verses 6 and 7. That when we all have troubles, we have difficulties, we see this world in different angles, every one of us. And he wrote, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The resurrection means life may get us down. It may get really difficult at times, but we don't have to stay down. Well, thirdly, the resurrection means that there is life beyond the grave. Hebrews, the 9th chapter and verse 27 says, it is appointed for men to die. Whew. That's an awful thought, isn't it? We don't like to think about death. We all know we're going to die. Every one of us know that sometime we're going to die, but we don't think about it. We don't want to think about it. Death is one of those most traumatic things that happens in life. And the closer death gets to our home, the harder it is to bear, and the worse it hurts. Now, I've lost my parents. I've lost aunts and uncles. I've lost dear friends to death, but I've never lost a brother or sister. I've never lost a maid. I've never lost a child. And I know those losses have to be some of the hardest and the greatest to bear. All of us have experienced great grief because of loved ones who have been taken by death. But there is victory in Jesus Christ. There is hope for eternity because of Jesus Christ. Because of the resurrection, there is hope beyond this present world. A 16-year-old girl by the name of Carolyn Atkinson, a daughter of a New Zealand Baptist preacher, had to face the prospect of suffering and an early death. And she did not get her wish for healing in this life, but her victorious spirit really shines out as she makes her last entry into her diary just a few days before her death. And this is what she wrote. "Well, according to medical science, I'm never going to grow old. I have a year in the least to live. I have brain surgery tomorrow to remove as much of a malignant tumor as possible. But God has promised me He is in charge and He is the one who can heal me. I believe it may be gone when they go to remove it. Amen." Or perhaps His purpose is different and I have to go through more to continue His plans. I have a purpose. I am not going to die. God is in control. I would love to catch sight of the glory of God only to return to lead my friends to the Lord. Oh, if only, please God, let me. Lead my paths and help me to live and honor you in everything I do and bring glory to your name. Please help me have the peace I now do in you to pull me through. For that I may honor you and bring others to get to know you. Let that be my purpose. Yes, please, O God, take my life. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me. Make me. That's what I pray." Paul, writing to Christians, has to say this in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 13 and 14. He says, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep," that is, those who have died, "lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Because of the resurrection, we have hope of another life, a better life in eternity. Those who die in Christ are not dead. You see, Paul tells Christians in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 8, he says this, "We are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." The resurrection of Jesus Christ can guarantee that for those who will accept Him, who will love Him, who will live for Him, who will make Him Lord and Savior. a children's play was being prepared, and they were making great preparation to give this play to the audience. The director was there talking to each one of the children that was involved in the play and making sure they were comfortable with the role that they had in the play. And one young man was offered a talking role, and he said, "No, I don't want a talking role. I would like to play the stone that covered the entrance of Jesus' tomb." And the lady thought, "Wow, that's kind of strange. The stone? Well, okay, you can be the stone that covers the grave." The play went off just fine. It was great. The people loved it. And after it was all over, she came to this young lad and said, "Were you satisfied with your role as playing the stone that did not speak, that was in front of the tomb?" And the young lad said, "Yes, I was pleased with that." And the lady said, "Well, why did you want to play a stone?" And with a huge smile on his face, the boy said, "Letting Jesus out of that grave felt good." Listen, we've got to let him out of the grave this morning. We've got to let him into our lives that he might give us that hope, that we might be able to see and know that there is more than what this world has to offer. Heaven is real. And it is possible for us to go there because Jesus Christ came out of the grave. We are spiritual beings. When we are born into this world, we are given a soul that will live for eternity. And there's only two places in eternity. It is either in heaven or in hell. Now, when you die, you're going to go to one of those places. But it is right now that determines which one of those places you're going to go to. And that is all the purpose of the resurrection. So we can choose to be with Jesus throughout eternity. You see, for those who choose Jesus Christ, who choose to make Him their Lord and Savior, who choose to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sin and live for Him, you have that hope of eternity. You have that hope every day of your life. You have that hope that drives you forward. You have that hope that gives you life. You have that hope knowing where you will spend eternity. Today, have you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? He came out of that grave for you. He arose triumphantly that He might give you the opportunity to be with Him for eternity. This morning, we've come to this time of decision that you might examine your life, that you might determine, where do you want to spend eternity? Does the resurrection mean anything to you at all? It should. If you want to be with Jesus for eternity, you must accept Him. You must live for Him. You must be obedient unto Him. This morning, if you have a decision, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?